This morning you're about to open your Bibles, the book of 2 Kings, chapter 4. Again, that is 2 Kings chapter 4. A reading from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Hear now these words. Now the wife of a member of the company of prophets cried to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, but a creditor has come to take my two children as slaves." Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" She answered, "Your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." He said, "Go outside, borrow vessels from all your neighbors, empty vessels, and not just a few. Then go in and shut the door behind you and your children, and start pouring through all these vessels. When each is full, set it aside." So she left him, shut the door behind her and her children. They kept bringing vessels to her, and she kept pouring. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." But he said to her, "There are no more." Then the oil stopped flowing. She came to the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your children can live on the rest." My friends, the word of God for the people of God, thanks be to God. This morning I want to speak to you about this chapter 4, say Kings, about Elisha the miracle worker. And I was looking this over, and I thought, this will make more sense if I kind of go to these miracles one by one instead of doing my usual reading the whole chapter. But in this chapter, we see Elisha come to the rescue, the aid of folks who look like they were beyond help. And so in this first story, it talks about the wife of a prophet who has passed away, and she goes to Elisha and says, "Prophet, no, we're in big time trouble. My husband's dead and gone, and we got the bill collector knocking on our door, and if I don't come with the money, he's going to take my two sons away as slaves to pay off this debt." And Elisha says, "What you got in the house?" "Oh, prophet, we ain't got nothing in the house, nothing. We don't have anything we take to the pawn shop. All we got is a little bit of oil." But my friends, you see, it's not what you have, it's in whose hands you place it. Elisha said, "Go get all the pots and pans you can. If you got a pot, empty it out. And get all the pots you can borrow from your neighbors. And go inside the house, you and your two boys. Close that door and start filling up those pots and pans." So she probably thought, "This sounds kind of crazy. What's going to happen?" And so she goes out, and the boys go around the neighborhood, knock on the door, and say, "Hey, Mom needs to borrow any pots and pans you got." "Okay, well, here you go." She went through, cleaned out the whole neighborhood of pots and pans. Can you imagine your house being filled with a bunch of pots and pans you borrow from everybody in the neighborhood? And then one by one, she begins to pour oil into the pots and pans. But here's what's crazy, though, is no matter how much oil she pulled into a pot, she still had enough for the next pot, and the next, and the next, and the next. And when she got done, every pot and pan was filled with oil. She ran out and told the prophet, "Now, I did what you said. Now every pot and pan is filled with oil." Now physically, that's impossible, right? We all know this from the refrigerator. When you keep drinking that Coke out of the Coke bottle, or milk out of the jug, the more you drink it and use it, the more it goes down. Now, I know some of you kids, you think that if you put that little milk jug back in with a drop of milk in it, he's going to do something miraculous, right? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. And then mom, dad gets on your case, like, why'd you put this back in here for? It's empty, right? Got nothing there to taste a parent or grandparent like going to the fridge saying you got plenty of milk or whatever, and then you get to pick it up and it's on that little bit of squig in it, okay? Now, y'all, that won't work for you because you don't have Elisha with you. Well, this lady, everything she touched was filled to the brim with oil. Elisha said, go sell that. And with that money, pay off your debts. And then you and your sons can live off the rest. Here was a lady who had no income, no Social Security, no Medicare. Bill collector knocked on her door, ready to take possession of her two sons. And Elisha, through a miracle, provide the provision for her to set her free, to set her sons free from the clenches of debt. You know, when we read that story, you think about how Jesus, when he fed the multitudes, took that little bit of fish, a little bit of bread, thanked God for it, and broke it, and was able to feed a hungry multitude. Well, let's look at our next story here. Verse 8. One day, Elijah was passing through Shemin, where a wealthy woman lived, who urged him to have a meal. So whenever he passed that way, he would stop for a meal. He said to her husband, look, I am sure this man who regularly passes our way is a holy man of God. Let us make a small roof chamber with walls, and put there from a bed, a table, and a chair, and a lamp, so he can stay there whenever he comes to us. One day, when he came there, he went up to the chamber and lay down there. He said to his servant, Gehazi, call the Shunammite woman. When he called her, she stood before him. He said to him, say to her, since you have taken all this trouble for us, what may be done for you? Would you have a word spoken on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army? She answered, I live among my own people. He said, what then may be done for her? Gehazi answered, well, she has no son, and her husband is old. He called her. And when he called her, she stood at the door. He said, at this season and due time, you shall embrace a son. She replied, no, my lord. O man of God, do not deceive your servant. The woman conceived and bore a son at that season and due time, as Elijah had declared to her. Now, in this story, this lady has a different problem. In our first story, that lady was broke, didn't have any money, but she had two sons. In this story, this lady had plenty of money, but she did not have any children. And isn't it strange how sometimes we get confused about wealth and riches? And when I was reading this, I was reminded one time when I was in the high school years, I believe, my mom, one of her best friends from her younger days, invited us to come to her house to go swimming. And she lived out past Charles, behind the interstate, going towards Cleveland. That's back where they got all those houses built back there. And a really big house on the hill there, a nice swimming pool. And she was a real estate lady. And my sister arrived in the swimming pool swimming. We thought that was a big deal. And mom was there, and she talked to her friend. And I let her learn that my mom accidentally made her friend cry. Because mom looking around and said, Marcy, you got it all. You got it all, you know. And Marcy said, no, Juanita, you've got it all. And my mom said, what do you mean, you know? And she pointed to the swimming pool and said, you've got it all. You see, mom's looking at the big old house and the swimming pool. Her friend's looking at my sister and myself in the swimming pool. From her point of view, mom was one who was blessed. You know, it makes a difference sometimes when you can see things through people's eyes. And so the prophet calls in this lady and She's an older lady, and she'd been the blessing to Elijah, had built him a little room inside the house there for him to rest. And he said, "At this season due time, you shall embrace the sun." And she responds in disbelief and says, "No, my lord, O man of God, do not deceive your servant." Now, if that sounds familiar, that should ring some bells from the book of Genesis. Recall how Abraham saw three visitors come to his tent, and he invited them to sit and eat with him. And while they were dining, the visitor, meaning the Lord, said, "Abraham, where is Sarah thy wife?" "Behold, in the tent." "And the time seems to come, Sarah shall give birth to a son." And Sarah, being the good wife she was inside the tent eavesdropping. Remember that? And when she heard that, she started laughing and said, "Shall I know pleasure? At my age, now I'm grown old, and my husband's grown old too. But you know, you can't eavesdrop on the Lord without him knowing it." And the Lord said, "Wherefore does Sarah laugh, not say she'll give birth to a son? Is anything too hard for the Lord?" And Sarah's kind of like, she was, you know what I'm talking about? "I didn't laugh." No. And the Lord said, "Yes, you did laugh. You know, I heard you inside the tent." And then, of course, she gave birth to a son, and they named him Isaac. And Isaac is the Hebrew word for laughter, because both she and Abraham laughed the idea in their old age they would have a son. Well, what's the rest of the story? And I'm going to summarize this second part of it. Verse 18. When a child was older, he went out one day with his father among the reapers. He complained to his father, "Oh, my head, my head." Something happened. We're not sure what happened, but all at once he experienced these tremendous headaches. Something very serious happened to him. And so the father takes him, puts him upstairs. And the mother says, "We need that man of God to come to our rescue." And he said, "Go get the man of God." No. And so Elijah sends his servant and tells the servant, says, "Don't you stop anywhere. You go straight to that child." And it talks about verse 21, how the servant went on ahead and laid his staff on the face of the child, but there was no sound or sign of life. He came back to me and Elijah and told him, "The child has not awakened." Verse 32 says, when Elijah came to the house, he saw the child lying dead on his bed. So he went in and closed the door on the two of them and prayed to the Lord. And then talks about, almost sounds like CPR, about how he put his mouth upon his mouth, and eyes upon his eyes, and hands upon his hands. He said he got down, walked to and fro in the room, bent over him, and then the child sneezed seven times. And the child opened his eyes. And Elijah summoned his servant, and the woman said, "Take your son." And she came and fell at his feet, bowed to the ground. And then she took her son and left. Now, when we read that story, we think about how Jesus, he was on his way to the house of Jairus, literally the synagogue. But he got stuck in traffic. The woman that issued blood for 12 years touched him, and he had to talk to her for a little bit. And by the time he got to the house, they said, "No need to bother the master now. She's dead." But Jesus said, "She's not dead. She merely sleeps." The critics started laughing, and Jesus kicked them out. In that story, you had the little girl, and there came mom and dad. There came Peter, James, and John, that made six. And in came Jesus, number seven. Jesus knelt down, put his hand in the little girl's hand, and said in Aramaic, "Talitha kumi," which means "little damsel, arise." And the little girl awake, and Jesus handed her back to her parents and said, "Feed her, she's hungry." When Jesus performed that miracle, it reminded people of this miracle, of how Elisha brought this young boy back from the dead. Well, our next story talks about some cooking. It talks about there was a company of prophets sitting before him, And he said to his servants, "Build a large pot on, make some stew for the coming of prophets." And one of them went out to the field to gather herbs. He found a wild vine and gathered it from a lap full of wild gourds, and came and cut them into the pot of stew, not knowing what they were. They served some for the men to eat. But while they were eating the stew, they cried out, "O man of God, there is death in the pot." They could not eat it. Elisha said, "Then bring some flour." They threw it into the pot, and he said, "Serve the people and let them eat." And there was nothing harmful in the pot.
So in this case, you got the prophets out of the woods, and they say, "We're hungry." And they sent some guys out in the woods to go foraging, and they come back with berries and fruits. But one poor guy, bless his heart, he didn't know what he was doing. He never joined the Eagle Scouts, Clint. So he got some mushrooms that were poisonous, but in the pot. And while they're eating, somebody says, "Wait a minute, this stuff is poisonous. Who put this in the pot? Oh, man of God, there's death in this pot. We're probably going to sick and die." Elisha said, "Don't worry about it. Give me some flour." He put the flour in the pot, and they went eat that food unharmed. Now, that's kind of like how the prophet Moses was able to cut that tree down and turn those bitter waters into the good waters. And then finally we have the last miracle of this chapter. A man came bringing food from the first fruits of the man of God, 20 loaves of barley and fresh ears of grain in his sack. Elisha said, "Give to the people and let them eat." But his servant said, "How can I set this before 100 people?" So Elijah repeated, "Give it to the people and let them eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left." He said before them, they ate and had some left, according to the word of the Lord. Now, that story sounds familiar too, doesn't it? A man gives Elijah some food, and Elijah tells his servant, "Take this food and feed these 100 people with it." "Oh, boss, we ain't got enough food for that. There's 100 people folks out here." "I told you, go and feed them. The Lord said you will feed them. We'll have food left over." You see, the people were reminded of that story when a certain prophet by the name of Jesus took some bread, some fish from a young boy, his school lunch basically, blessed it, broke it, gave it to Philip and Andrew, and the disciples said, "Go feed them." Philip said a little earlier, said, "This is no good to feed all these people." But what happened? Everybody got fed. And at the end of the day, there was 12 baskets of food left over, one for each disciple. When Jesus performed that miracle, they saw that he was a prophet in the spirit of Elijah. Now, what about us this morning? Do you face situations that seem impossible? Maybe in your health, your finances, on the job, or your family? Whenever those situations come up, you can either be discouraged or encouraged. You can be discouraged when you focus on the problem. You can be encouraged when you focus on God. When we see Elisha facing poverty, death, sickness, starvation, he put his faith in the Lord, and God provided the needs in that situation. And then years later, we get to the New Testament, we see Jesus, the Son of God. And the people knew he was a prophet, because just like Elijah, he could raise a dead child back to life, and he could feed the hungry. He could fill the jars of water and turn it into wine. Jesus came to meet the needs of the people to show them that God loved and cared for them. And so my encouragement for you this morning is, remember that the God of Elijah, the God of Jesus, the Son of God, is still the same God, and he loves you, and he's there to meet your needs. You only got to trust him, obey him, and he'll take care of your needs. Thank be to God. Amen. All right. And as Miss Cadence comes forward, I invite you to turn to your red hymnal to page 235 for the hymn, "He Set Me Free." Page 235, he set me free.